I saw you, I believed it was a sign that something new can come into this world.
Neuroplasticity is not an event, it's a process, and it has two parts. The first one is, if you want to learn and change your brain as an adult, there has to be a high level of focus and engagement. There's absolutely no way around this. Regardless of how agitated you feel, you have to lean in and focus extremely hard. We have to remember that that noradrenaline was designed to get us into movement. That's the purpose of noradrenaline, to take us out of stillness and into movement.
Ever since I started my fitness journey, there was a goal that spoke to me and seemed really lofty, but is something that I knew I've been chasing and the reason why I train ultimately. Because I realized, even after watching videos by people I admire like Hamza and First Man, I'm not really that motivated by aesthetics, in the sense that I can't get myself to really do the right thing with training, like eat completely clean or sleep enough just from the get-go. Just because I want like abs. But I've always been motivated by performance ever since I started this whole thing. And the goal that spoke to me the most was being able to deadlift 500 pounds and run a sub 5 minute mile on the same day. Now, having completed my first year, really my first solid year of training, I went to the gym and tested my deadlift max. And I did actually reach four plates, a 405 pound deadlift, which I think for my first year of lifting is not bad. The next day, after a little bit of recovery, I tested my mile time. And that clocked in at 6 minutes and 39 seconds. Shout out to my friend Cole for helping film that. So while this has been amazing progress, both in terms of my speed and strength, it still puts me very far from that goal that I'm working towards. After watching a lot of people like Adam Klink, Ryan Hall, and even Nick Bear, in the long run, I want to be a hybrid athlete like them. I wanted to start January off with a good mindset and a good way of living. And so I decided I actually wanted to live in accordance with the principles that Andrew Huberman talks about in many of his podcast episodes. I'm sure many of you who clicked on this video already know who he is, but just in case you don't, Huberman is a Stanford neuroscientist and professor, very intelligent, and dives deep on so many topics related to human performance. These are sleep, muscle building, even building relationships, managing stress. He's an incredible speaker, and he's been on various podcasts such as Chris Williamson's podcast, Joe Rogan, and many other people I admire. In 2023, I'm actually trying to achieve this goal of the 500 pound deadlift and sub 5 minute mile. And at this point, I'm so far away from that target, even though I've made amazing strides, I have such a long way to go. And if I'm going to hit that target, I really need to do everything I can to live well, to have my brain function well, to sleep very well, just to be a high performer in general. Someone who performs very well inside and outside the gym, and also takes his recovery seriously, which, to be honest, has often been a struggle of mine. And so for the last 14 days, I've actually been taking many of the tenets of Andrew Huberman. And in this video, I want to share five of the most effective ones that I've been using and how they've changed my life in just 2 weeks. So the first idea of Andrew Huberman, and the one that is most touted, the one that he gives the most amount of weight to, is getting sunlight in your eyes first thing every morning. Now, I have always understood, you know, the value of sunlight in the sense that sunlight gives you vitamin D, you absorb vitamin D, and vitamin D is like a key component of having high testosterone levels. And in the Midwest, especially in the winter, many people are deficient in vitamin D. Indian people especially, or anyone with a little bit more melanin in their skin, obviously you need more sunlight. But I didn't really give that much weight to the true implications and the usefulness of having sunlight, especially from the register of how it affects your mood. As Huberman said in one of his podcast episodes, getting sunlight in your eyes first thing in the morning is absolutely vital to mental and physical health. It is perhaps the most important thing that any and all of us can do and should do in order to promote metabolic well-being, promote the positive function of your hormone system, get your mental health steering in the right direction. It also has enormous implications for sleep, because seeing sunlight first thing in the morning sets your entire circadian rhythm. It tells your body and your mind where you are in the day, and it actually affects the amount of melatonin you release later that night? According to a paper in the National Library of Medicine, when people are exposed to sunlight in the morning, their nocturnal melatonin production occurs sooner and they enter into sleep more easily at night. As per this challenge, I took it as my duty to basically get outside as soon as possible, you know, once I've showered, done my morning ablutions, just to get out the door, or at the very least, look out the car window as I'm driving to the gym to get some sunlight and prioritize sunlight. And one thing I came to realize in these 2 weeks, even outside of the science, is that your mind produces different thoughts depending on the environment that you give it. It may seem trivial, but in wintertime, you almost forget that an outdoor environment exists because people do tend to huddle in. We don't want to suffer the stings of the cold, so we stay inside. But I realized all my thoughts were related to like huddling and retreating and contracting and withdrawing from life and risk-taking and challenges. Naturally, in the winter, I find myself thinking more about essentialism, cutting things out of my life and paring down, living a very simple life. But I realize it's because I'm just inside. All right, so this is a timed mile attempt. Conditions aren't super optimal. The roads are a little icy. Hopefully I'll be okay, but I'm just gonna get a baseline on how my mile looks after 3 months of not running. And prioritizing sunlight in the morning, sometimes you almost immediately feel how differently your mind starts working when you go outside. It's really basic, but go outside and get the sun in your eyes as soon as you can early in the day, because you will genuinely produce different thoughts. It's like the moment I went outside, even if it was a cold day, even if it was a cloudy day, according to Huberman, even on cloudy days, the sun is still there. You just have to sort of be outside for longer to get the same benefits. You think different thoughts. Then I find myself thinking about expansion and progress and not retreating and taking more risks. It's pretty bewildering. All right, mile has been run. So I got 7 minutes and 17 seconds. I will say though, it's like 20 degrees Fahrenheit outside. And there was just a lot that happened in this quick, dirty mile attempt. My shoelace got untied. There was a lot of ice. So I had to run kind of slowly. So I don't actually feel terribly taxed. I'd take a guess that if I was on an indoor track, I might clock in at like 6:40. That's my guess. In short order, we have a long way to go to hit the goal that I want to in 2023, but it's gonna be a fun challenge ahead. It's actually kind of frightening to think that so much of the thoughts we produce and so much of who we are is just a result of how we treat ourselves, because the mind is really just a machine. The thoughts aren't necessarily your own. The thoughts are just a result of the inputs that you bring into your life. And so that morning sunlight, I can see why he prioritizes it so much and why he advocates for it so much, because it's really been an important thing for keeping my mental health strong this last season of my life. Speaking of the cold though, the second idea of Andrew Huberman that he brings a lot of light to is the benefits of cold exposure and sauna. Now, Huberman specifically advocates for 11 minutes of cold exposure every week. This could be from a morning cold shower, which he says is a part of a very, very effective morning routine protocol, but also ice baths. I gotta say, this habit has been absolutely incredible. And one of the reasons it has been so potent is because I have been taking an ice bath every single day of this challenge. And most days, I've also been starting my day off with a cold shower. Now, I'm no stranger to cold showers, but the daily ice bath, the deliberate cold exposure, I can't tell you how incredible it's been. I started taking ice baths about a year ago, but it would be pretty infrequently, like once every 2 weeks, just because the place that I go to, it's a little bit out of the way. And so I would only find myself going to the ice bath if I was kind of like trying to hang out with a friend and it was a healthy hangout session. So I'd always bring people to the ice bath just to see how they would respond to it. But making this into a daily practice, this might be an aggressive claim, but I might try to do an ice bath every single day in 2023, because it has really, really enhanced my mood. As Huberman states in one of his podcast episodes, deliberate cold exposure causes a significant release of epinephrine and norepinephrine in the brain and body. These are neurochemicals that make you feel alert. There's a huge mental component to it. You feel more resilient. You feel like you have more grit because you are so frequently exposing yourself to something that almost doesn't make sense. Like to your body, it makes no sense that you're doing this. And the crazy thing about ice baths or cold showers is, sure, you sort of psychologically get used to the idea that you're doing them and you're going to keep doing them. But that first cold shower or that first, you know, ice plunge of the day, it is hard to get yourself to do it. It's hard to get yourself to do it every single day. You do feel that hesitation every time, no matter how many you've taken. It gets psychologically easier, but there is still resistance to completing the ice bath. And the fact that I've been doing it every day for 2 weeks now, it's definitely had an effect on my mindset. You just feel more resilient. You feel like you can take on more. Also, it has done a lot for helping me sleep better at night. The biggest benefit, of course, is that cold exposure increases the amount of dopamine in your body. In fact, according to one study, they found that immersion in cold water increased dopamine by 250%. A 250% increase in dopamine. I can sense this to be true because every time I bring someone new to the ice bath, they start laughing. And so prioritizing the cold exposure every single day, it has been a real gift in this challenge. It might be the one great takeaway of this challenge. Even though I'm totally going above and beyond what Huberman advocates, like I'm doing way more than 11 minutes of cold exposure every week, but I love it. I've been consuming a lot of content by this guy, Eric Hinman, who was a competitive triathlete, Ironman, and now he's just like a fitness influencer. Everyone's a fucking influencer. But I see him doing an ice bath or like a snow roll every single day on his Instagram. I totally see the appeal of it because it has such a quick, sudden, revolutionary effect on your mood. And as I stack up more days with cold exposure, like daily cold exposure, I might document what that journey has been like as well. The third principle of Huberman that I've been practicing, and this one has been very tough to practice, is delaying caffeine intake by 90 to 120 minutes after waking. So I actually am a caffeine addict. I have caffeine pills right next to me where I sleep. I've been doing this for years. I pop a caffeine pill first thing every morning. It's 200 milligrams. And then I'd also drink a cup of coffee later in the day. So I'm probably consuming like 400 milligrams of caffeine every day for several years now at this point. But one of the great points that Andrew Huberman has made is that you should try to delay your caffeine intake. And the reason for this is because our signal for feeling tired is the buildup of a neurotransmitter, a chemical called adenosine. And the longer you stay awake, the more adenosine you build up. It's what tells your brain that you're tired and that you should go to sleep. Caffeine is an adenosine blocker. It actually is an antagonist binder to the adenosine receptor. So it will bind to the receptors that adenosine is supposed to bind to be uptaked and carried out of your system. So if we drink caffeine first thing in the morning, that adenosine does not get an opportunity to leave your system. Now, after sleeping, chances are adenosine is at its lowest in your body because you've been sleeping. It gets processed out from sleep because you are recovering. But if you don't let all that lingering amount of adenosine out of your body first thing in the morning, it stays in your system. And that's why you get the afternoon crash. But if you delay the intake of caffeine, the adenosine that would have been left over from the night's sleep gets reuptaked, it gets out of your system, and then that jolt of caffeine that hits at like 11 a.m. or noon is basically free of crash. And it's been tough to delay the caffeine because I love coffee so much, but I've been working, doing my writing in coffee shops more during this challenge, and that hit of the espresso or the coffee is amazing. Now, Huberman's favorite way to caffeinate is yerba mate. I actually had to go to like two different stores to find what the fuck yerba mate is. I didn't know what it was. What is yerba mate, you might ask? It is the great love of Andrew Huberman. No, actually, it's just his preferred way to caffeinate, but we've been like in three different stores looking for this dumb stuff. See, this is the problem with human optimization. At some point, you devote so much of your life to optimizing that you end up spending an extra hour looking for yerba mate. And then you wonder, what is my life? And then you off.
I gotta say, I don't really get the appeal of it. It has a lot of sugar in it. So I don't know, Huberman, if you can explain to me why you like yerba mate so much, I'd love to hear it. It definitely did not help me hit any new PRs in the gym. So I think I'll just stick to coffee. The fourth idea that I tried in this challenge was to structure my day into three different phases. And this is more of a overarching way of thinking about how to frame your day rather than any one habit or idea. But it's to break up your day into three phases. So the first phase of your day, phase one, is from 0 to 8 hours after waking. This is when you have a lot of chemicals inside your body that help with alertness, focus, dealing with stress. You've got cortisol, you've got dopamine, you've got adrenaline. The mind and the body are primed for activities related to focus. So in this period of the day is when I strive to do my most important work. And because I have scheduled like a personal training session every morning, I basically have been doing my work to fit it into that first phase of the day. I've been doing it out and about, more coffee shops and such, which has been really fun. In the first phase of the day, it's easier to overcome something called limbic friction. That's what Huberman calls the energy it requires to overcome, you know, that feeling of procrastination or fatigue or anxiety to do the work you're supposed to do. It is the easiest it's going to be in the first 8 hours of the day. So that's when you should fit in kind of like that mentally hard task that you have to do for the day. From hours 8 to 16, phase 2 of the day, it's much more related to creativity, less focus-related activities, and more exploratory.
Now we are moving on to phase 2 of the day, and that's where you try to do less cognitively demanding work, but work that still has some creativity in it. So I'm gonna pop over to a coffee shop and I'm going to try to get into a little bit of a creative flow state. So this is, I must have written in this at like some 3 a.m. delirious haze, but I wrote out my goals for 2023 and this is what they are. Captain Sinbad does $2 million. I am engaged to the woman of my dreams, which is a very aggressive ask considering that I have nothing of that sort figured out. And then the last one is I'm at 12% body fat and can deadlift 500 pounds. That's what we're working towards this year.
So for me, because I'm training for that sub 5 minute mile, this is honestly when I've just been doing my cardio, but also taking meetings, doing my YouTube group coaching, and thinking about more creative ideas. I'm still trying to write more creative videos. I'm actually shooting a short film in Hawaii in 2 weeks' time. I'm very nervous to do it because it's my first attempt at a truly cinematic piece in almost a year and a half, but it's gonna be called Mana, People of the Thunder. And so I've been working on the script for that in the phase 2 of my day. This is because your serotonin levels are naturally higher, and so it's more optimal for you to do activities that don't require you to overcome that same amount of limbic friction. Phase 3 of the day, 16 to 24 hours after waking, is of course about rest, recovery, sleep, which I'm actually going to cover in the next principle. Huberman's sleep cocktail. So my sleep hygiene has always been very bad. The thing I struggle with most is like putting aside the phone and just cutting out screen time before sleep. I know it's important, but I never do it. And to be honest, I still sleep fine. My normal sleep schedule is around midnight to 7:30 a.m. But to be fair, this is the one component of my life where I could improve in. Now, I already noticed that because of the dedication to morning sunlight and even the contrast therapy, the sauna and the ice baths, I had started sleeping much better. Like honestly, by many days 10 p.m., I would start to feel much more tired than I normally do, and I would zonk out, and I've been almost gaining an extra hour of sleep as a result of that. But Huberman also has his famous sleep cocktail, which consists of magnesium threonate, L-theanine, and a compound called epigenin, which I just substituted in for chamomile tea because it contains it. And I mean, I don't know if the sleep cocktail has really done all that much for me, but to be honest, my sleep score, according to the Oura Ring, hovers around 80, which is good, but not amazing. So my sleep results haven't been that much better, and I'm not sure how much of an effect the cocktail has had. But this is one component of the challenge that I actually wish I did a better job of, especially around all the other habits that Huberman talks about. This means keeping your bedroom environment cool and dark, not looking at any screens up to an hour before sleeping. And in fact, it's ideal to fall asleep before midnight, because if you can fall asleep sooner, like 10 p.m., the body actually produces more growth hormone and actually is better for recovery. So this is going to be a priority of mine moving forward, though I will say in the duration of this challenge, I did not master it. Overall, doing this challenge and doing my best to adopt many of the habits that Andrew Huberman advocates for, it's led to some really amazing results. I suppose across the board, I've already had good habits when it came to like deep work. And I think generally speaking, I have already structured my days in ways where I do like the most intense quiet work early in the day. And I guess I organically realized that in the second half of my day, it's harder to focus. Like it's harder to do like writing based stuff or deep work. So I naturally would start to move my meetings and work with clients later in the day, because interacting with other people, it's much easier in phase 2 of the day. But doing this challenge has sort of been a return to practicing the fundamentals of good living very well. And for that, I'm really grateful to Andrew Huberman and all the speakers he's talked to, because I think a lot of these ideas I'm going to carry forward into 2023. And more than anything, it's helped me with my creativity and my mental health. Like I realized after the 2 weeks of doing this challenge, my mental health, which I thought was fine, just got so much better. Like I feel so much more positive than I did 2 weeks ago, which is priceless. And so if you're watching this video or other videos like this, I would say the biggest takeaways is that you should get really good at the fundamentals of good living and seeing to what degree you can incorporate them into your lives. Now, the one caveat I'll say is that a lot of times people who get really technical about human optimization and like living well, you get too much in the weeds. You can't structure your whole life around the optimization routines, because then your entire day will literally just turn into a protocol. Like you will just live out days where you're just like protocoling your way through things and not actually living. So that is one thing to be kind of careful of. But in general, I'm really glad I took on this challenge. Before I end this video, I also do want to give a shout out to my YouTube coaching clients. For those of you who don't know, around September of last year, I started a YouTube coaching program, and it's been a very eye-opening and amazing experience, but I've basically been working with 15 people in a very intimate setting on how to grow their YouTube channels. And cohort one of my YouTube Academy basically all made an Andrew Huberman video. Like, we decided we would do this challenge and try to adopt these healthy lifestyle choices going into the new year together, so that we would take on the year strong and we would all try to live up to our potential as creatives, as YouTubers. If I think too hard about it, it makes me emotional, because this group of guys who have been working with me for almost 3 months now have made such enormous strides as content creators. And sure, some of them, their views haven't been like amazing from the get-go. Many people have had videos that have popped off that have gotten like 200,000 views on a video or 170,000 views. One of my clients now has a video that is like 600 or 700,000 views on his video. I'm like really proud of the guys who are getting videos to pop off, but everyone in general has been improving so much as a content creator, as a storyteller. And what's amazing is that being good at YouTube is honestly just a parallel for, I guess, continually demanding more from yourself in life. It's a weird job, because to be a good YouTuber, you have to be interested in living well. Otherwise, you won't have anything to say with depth. But I see so many of these guys making videos with such depth now, and I'm like, I'm blown away by them. So in the description box of this video, you will see basically everyone who did the Huberman Challenge, who's been a part of my YouTube coaching program. You'll see all of their videos, and I would implore you to check out some of their videos, check out their edits, because everyone's video came out really different. That's the cool part about this as well, is that we all made the same video on the same topic, similar title and thumbnail, but because everyone's inner voice and inner authenticity is so different, everyone's video came out different and amazing. And it's a really amazing time to be creative, because you have more opportunities than ever to share what is inside you, to share the emotion in your heart. I mean, I personally am absolutely pumped for this new year. I hope you guys all had amazing holidays and your new year has kicked off well, because we're all gonna absolutely crush it this year. And for those of us who take on the habits, take on the mindset and the fundamental routines that allow us to tap into our potential, to us I say, greatness is coming. We'll see you soon, baby.